Oak Session number 12433, Reel 5.
Mr. Holbrow, Reel 5. Did your POW and war experiences change your attitude towards the Germans?
Strangely enough, I don't harbour any ill will towards them. I feel that as a race they did terrible things, and I mean it'd be hard to forgive them for what they did in the Holocaust and so on. And but individually, I've always got on well with them, and when we go on holiday to Spain or that, I usually make a point of talking to them and that, and I always find them very friendly. And my daughter palled up with a German girl from Hamburg, and they visited one another several times, and her parents have visited here several times, and many years ago I took a trip out there, and I went to Denmark and then down through Schleswig-Holstein and that to Hamburg and stayed there for a few days and so on. I admire them terrifically for the way they recovered from the war. I know we helped them a lot by that. They sort of start afresh, and their rebuilding was marvellous. The way they rebuilt Hamburg so quickly, it was absolutely flattened, and the way they've recovered economically. And of course, I did admire them for the way they work. They are such workers that even in the war, they worked like so hard with a minimum of rations and so on, and they had a real work ethic, which of course Hitler used and so on, I have mixed feelings about them, of course. I don't think they can ever expunge the dreadful things that they did, but at least I feel that compared with the Japs, you know, they have done what they can to make amends, and they certainly treated us a lot better than the Japs treated their prisoners. I mean, they had a terrible time, there's no doubt about it, and they don't even seem sorry for it.
Did you have any difficulty readjusting to civilian life once you got back to the UK?
Not really, no. I got a job fairly quickly, and I was very fortunate. I was there was a scheme whereby XWD cars were available to disabled people, which I had a disablement at that time, and they were available quite cheaply. I think I picked up a Morris, quite a nice car, that for about £300-350. I had to go out to Wiltshire by train and pick it up, and I mean, cars were very difficult to obtain at that time at all. You couldn't obtain a new one. So I was very fortunate to have that. And it did me a number of years. Mind you, it cost me quite a bit mechanically because it had been well used. But I was very glad to have it, and it was a good start. But the other thing was the housing problem. When I got married, although I had a job, there were no houses to be had unless you could put down quite an amount on mortgage, which I had no money in those days. I couldn't find the £500 mortgage or anything, and that's why we had to go into lodgings at Herne Hill.
Whilst you were a POW in Germany, did you ever come across any attempt by the Germans to recruit British POWs to fight for them?
Yes, they pounced on the Irish straight away and segregated them. There were a lot of Irish. Some were from the Free State and some were from Northern Ireland, and the Free Staters, whether they wanted it or not, but most of them did, were all segregated into special camps and given special amenities and so on. I don't think they were asked to fight. I don't know, but they were certainly segregated and treated much better. No, I was never asked to volunteer or fight for them or anything like that.
So you never heard of an organisation called the British Free Corps that the Germans set up?
I don't recall it. If I did, it didn't register.
You were talking about those people who, POWs who got the job in the cookhouse, easy job in the cookhouse at that one camp. Can you tell me more about that?
Well, you see, You have to bear in mind that these working camps, that they were more or less ruled. Well, that was a big camp, so there was a sergeant major of the tank corps in charge, but to a large extent they were ruled by rank. Didn't come into it in the rankers camp. Because we had no officers, so it was usually ruled by might is right, and people who could box on that and use their weight and so on usually ruled the roost, you see. Well, this chappy in my camp, this Lancastrian corporal, He was a very strong man, but fortunately he was a nice man, you know. He was considerate and decent. He wasn't a bully, but in many cases they were. And this sugar factory, I don't know why maybe because they were regular soldiers, and the sergeant major in charge of the British was a tank sergeant major, and they were regular Scottish soldiers, so maybe he favoured them from that angle. But they were a really rough type, as you can see what they did. And then, yes, this was the rule in most places that might was right, and the strongest people got the best jobs.
And you were the only one who spoke up against it?
Well, I suppose so, because normally the food was very good there, but it just happened to catch me on the raw that night, because we'd had a particularly bad shift and so on. As I said, I was very cold and hungry, and you see these three blighters there in the warm. You just saw a cubby hole, and you saw them all there smoking and doling us out with our rations. And one of them gives me half a bowl, I don't know whether they'd run out or something, and just because I said, "Here, what about it?" the next thing is a fist came through the the window and knocked me out. Yeah.
Did you ever hear of Glasgow razor gangs amongst POWs?
No, but I could imagine that they were of that type. I mean, at the camp at Danzig. Although the official camp, this was before my friend before my friend the Lancastrian coal miner took charge, there was a Scottish sergeant, and he was quite a nice chap, but there were these Scots regular soldier rankers. And I remember one day they had an argument, the sergeant who was in charge of the camp asked him to do something or something, one of them, who was a real tough guy, and he just felled him with one blow. And it was just fantastic. And I mean, you couldn't do anything about it at all. Well, subsequently, the Scotch sergeant went to an NCO's camp, you see, and that's when my friend took over. But this other chap, he was a really tough guy, but if I hadn't been so big and so tall and I put on weight there, I mean, we often got into arguments, but he generally backed down because of my size. But he would, anyone his own size or that, he would, or less, you know, he would bully all the time. And there were a lot like that, because there were a lot of various jobs, as you can see. Some were relatively easy. They weren't all cookhouse jobs, but jobs for the Germans. Some were relatively easy and some were blooming difficult. And it was usually the wrong people who got the hard and difficult jobs and that, you know. There was a lot of illness too. A lot of the prisoners were taken ill through various things. A lot of them died there. There's no doubt about it. I mean, with things that would have been saved here, one chap was wheeled away with terrible kidney trouble, I remember, and another had a tumour on the brain. You can't perhaps put it down to prisoner of war, but they were young chaps, and they died. And lots of them became mentally unstable and were put into, I don't know what happened to them, when they went into German asylums or what.
What type of things made them have mental breakdowns?
Well, a lot of them couldn't stand the, a lot of them, particularly the militia boys, they couldn't stand the life, and there seemed no hope, you know. I mean, up until 43, you could see no hope. You thought you were there for life if you survived, you know, and that. And things were terrible up until 43. I mean, there's no question about it.
Was there much in the way of rackets in the camps? POWs running rackets to raise money?
In some of the bigger camps, I think there were, yes. With these, you know, with Red Cross and that, this coffee, you could do almost anything with coffee, you know, and that with the Germans or with, well, amongst yourselves, because it was currency as far as the Germans were concerned, Red Cross coffee and cigarettes, of course.
But how did people get hold of excessive supplies of such commodities?
I don't say they were excessive, but if you were doing a good period when you had a parcel a week, you got a tin a week. And I mean, they weren't too bothered about the coffee anyway, you see. You know, tea's the favourite drink of a soldier. So they used to say our Midland and North Country going to mash the tea, you know.
But did you get people... I'm thinking of a book that was written about Japanese POWs called King Rat.
I remember that. Eating a dog or something, didn't they? Or,
well, in which you got somebody who traded watches and even and other valuables.
Well, I mean, you saw what I did with my... You saw what I did with my watch. I had to. It was the only valuable possession I had. I needed it virtually to survive at that period. But later on, there were lots of rackets going, but I never saw anything on a large scale. It was only for food and clothing and that. We never had any fresh eggs or anything like that, and you could swap your coffee for fresh eggs with some of the guards or civilians, and drink, I suppose, the schnapps and that. But I didn't see much of. I didn't see any large-scale rackets that I recall at all.
Did you ever think the Germans would win the war?
I must confess that, yes, up to 42, I wasn't very hopeful at all. And at that time, I'd been... You see, I was brought up after the First World War to think that the British Army was so superior to the Germans and that, and that it had been a series of great victories, the First World War. But when I had a chance to read, as a prisoner, books sent from home and that, as to the dreadful defeats and losses and that of the First World War, and that the fact that we won in the end, it made me think, well, we've certainly had our defeats this time, but there's not much sign of us being able to win in the end. I didn't know I didn't sort of feel America would ever come in the war. We were starved of news about America. It was quite a surprise when we heard that America would come in the war, and that made a big difference to our feelings.